Please stand. O come, let us adore him. We begin our Christmas Eve service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus and rejoice that God chose to come to us in human flesh and blood, we light the Christ candle. Jesus Christ is our hope.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
He is our hope.
He is our peace.
He is our joy. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. A child has been born for us, whose name is called
Wonderful Counselor, Good Shepherd, Deliverer, Lamb of God, the Word.
Mighty God, first and last, author of life, morning star, the light. Prince of Peace, Chief Cornerstone, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Way.
He is Emmanuel, God with us.
Let us pray. Holy God, in days of old, you sent your angels to tell shepherds the good news. Help us hear with the shepherds this good news. Please be seated.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah. Hey, Christine! You're here too! I love you!
I know.
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off, whenever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great, look at that!
Ooh, I bet I know what this does!
Rain down the glorious water!
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys? Food!
I love food. What? A booth place? Do you not have work? This is awesome! Look, listen here.
Dee, the what?
Jack, be careful!
I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
Oh. A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
I have probably seen that video about 100 times. I still love it. It's produced by a church in North Carolina just to remind us that, you know, God gives us gifts all year long, and we kind of take them for granted. And it's just a pleasant reminder. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. You've given me so much. What's true of our everyday lives and the gifts that we receive from God there can also be true about the gift that we're celebrating tonight, that we can kind of take for granted this gift that God has given us, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so tonight we are going to unwrap this gift so that we appreciate anew the marvelous gift that our God has given to us. We begin with the reading of the Christmas Gospel according to St. Luke.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son.
She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. How many millions of packages have appeared on front doors over the last few weeks? You know, they're nothing special. They're pretty plainly wrapped, aren't they? And yet they've been eagerly awaited. People have ordered them. And there's some kind of treasure inside. Tonight we are celebrating the fact that our God has given us a gift that is plainly wrapped, a tiny baby lying in a manger. But this gift was also eagerly desired because it had been on order, not just for a few days, but for millennia. You know, already in the Garden of Eden, God must have looked in Adam and Eve's eyes, because that's what my mom and dad always said. Before I was born, I was just a twinkle in their eye. You hear So God must have looked into Adam and Eve's eye and saw a twinkle in their eye for every one of us. And God said, I know exactly what Adam and Eve's kids need for Christmas. A child. An offspring of the woman who would crush Satan's head because Satan had just defeated them. And so God placed the order. The offspring of the woman. Now, are there any UPS or FedEx or postal service workers here right now? Anybody? I didn't think so because they're still all out working. Because they worked really hard to make sure that packages like this are delivered on time. You know, God had to work really hard. Because some of the workers that he had, you know, this package should have never been delivered. One set of workers that God had to deliver this package, a 100-year-old guy and a 90-year-old woman, and they are supposed to deliver this package by having a baby. Ha! Right. No way. Package isn't going to be delivered. But God did a miracle, and a miracle baby was born. Not the seed of the woman that God had promised Adam and Eve, but an ancestor of the Savior, Isaac. Now, there were other obstacles to having this package delivered. Abraham and Sarah's grandson was named Jacob. I know that there's some Jacobs here tonight. I just want to apologize in advance. You know what your name means. It means deceiver. Sorry, I'm just messing. You see, Jacob was a liar and a cheat, remember? He cheated his brother out of the birthright. Certainly, God would not be able to fulfill the order when he entrusted it into somebody's hands like Jacob. And yet God performed another miracle so that the order would be fulfilled. He changed Jacob, a liar and a cheat, into Israel, a man who wrestles with God, a man who would not let God go until God blessed him, who wrestled with him in prayer. And Israel became the father of the Israelites, the children of Israel. And the order was repeated. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. In fact, the whole Old Testament, it is a history of how it would seem that there is no way that this order was going to be fulfilled. God's people showed themselves unfaithful over and over again. But God wouldn't let anything keep him from delivering this package at the right time. Oh, people were waiting. They were getting anxious. Just like some of you who order packages like this, you know, when the package doesn't arrive right when you expect it to arrive. I see a mom up here already smiling. You know, so what do? You go online. Oh, the order was received. You go online again. Oh, the order was shipped. You go online again. Oh, the order is who knows where. But you're tracking. That's what God was doing. He was giving a tracking number all the way through the Old Testament. Every once in a while, when people would think, I don't think God's going to be able to keep this order, he's not going to deliver, God would say, oh yes, right now I want you to know that he's going to be born from King David's line, or he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And finally, according to the timetable that God had, when the time had fully come, when it was just the right time, God delivered this package. This gift, plain wrapping, just a baby, lying in a manger. But this gift tonight reminds us that you have a God who's faithful, who placed an order and fulfilled that order. You have a God that you can count on. He's faithful. Let's join together in singing the next hymn.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"The shepherds would have just seen a very plainly wrapped package, a baby lying in a manger. But God helped unwrap that package with the message that the angels proclaimed, that this plainly wrapped child was actually God himself, Christ, the Lord. In fact, the prophecy where it was foretold that Jesus would be born of a virgin is also the prophecy that tells us that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the miracle that we celebrate tonight, that not only was God faithful in having this child born of a virgin, just as God had foretold, in spite of the unfaithfulness of God's people, but that this child is a golden child. This child is God himself. Now, I wish that I could give a gold wrap package to every one of you tonight, and that you could just walk out of here with a gold wrap package as a reminder of this incredible promise, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, I don't know what you're going to be walking out of those doors to face. Some of you are in the midst of a bad place in your relationship. Wouldn't it be great to have this gold box as just a reminder, as I walk out of here, I'm not facing that alone. God is with us. Emmanuel, he's with me. Some of you are facing a frightening time because a child, a spouse, parent, is very ill. Wouldn't it be great to always have a golden box that would just remind you that God has given this incredible promise that as you face that sickness, that you are not facing it alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is with you. Or imagine at the moment that you see death approaching, you are lying on your deathbed. Wouldn't it be great to be able to have a golden box sitting next to your deathbed on a chair, to be reminded that God has given us this incredibly precious promise that God is with us even at that extreme time when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Emmanuel, God is with us. I may not be able to give you gold boxes to walk out of here with to remind you that you have a golden gift. But that's what God's given us. That's the promise that Jesus gave when he said, I'm with you always to the end of the world. And I want you to remember that when God placed the order for the child, the unfaithfulness of God's people did not negate God's promise. You and I have been unfaithful too. You and I could feel like, well, I've done some things that are so bad that God couldn't want to be with me. But remember, God placed the order. God kept the order. He was faithful to his promise in spite of the unfaithfulness of his people. That's still true today. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you are. This promise is still true. Emmanuel, God with you. Let's join in singing, Hark the Herald Angels.
Thank you.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed.
What did Herod see when he heard that the gift had been delivered? Oh, he saw a gift wrapped for sacrifice. He wanted that child dead so that his life could go on undisturbed, just like it did. Just like it was before. 33 years later, another Jewish leader saw this gift wrapped for sacrifice. Caiaphas, the high priest that year, was speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he told the Jewish ruling council, "Don't you know that it's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish?" They saw this child wrapped for sacrifice so that everything could keep on going for them just as it was before. God also saw this child wrapped for sacrifice. You know, the shepherds in Bethlehem understood animals wrapped for sacrifice. It suggested that the shepherds took care of the sheep that were being prepared for sacrifice in the temple. You see, Bethlehem is not very far from Jerusalem. If you think of Bethlehem as where Muskego High School is, St. Paul's is where the temple is, not very far at all. And tradition has it that it was in the Bethlehem Hills that they raised those lambs that morning and evening were to be sacrificed on the altar at the temple. So the shepherds certainly understood what sacrifice was all about and what a gift wrapped for sacrifice looked like. God did too. That's why he wrapped this child in both human form, and yet he was also true God, so that he could sacrifice himself for us, so that his death would be sufficient payment. But that sacrifice wasn't going to be according to Herod's or Caiaphas' timetable. God didn't wrap this gift for sacrifice to be sacrificed on the end of a Jewish spear in Bethlehem or being stoned to death by Jewish leaders in the dusty streets of Jerusalem. No, God wrapped this gift for sacrifice in that he would be lifted up and draw all people to himself, signifying that he would die on the cross, that his hands and his feet would be pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. It was God's plan that he would be wrapped for sacrifice, the God who had become truly human to die for us, but not so that everything could go on just as it had before. The wise men came to worship this gift from God, and they recognized that this gift from God, this sacrifice, changed them. They didn't go back home the same way. They went home a different way. That's what God's calling us to do too. If you believe that God kept his promise and a child was born of the Virgin Mary, if you believe that this child is God himself, that every miracle that he performed that's recorded in the Gospels is a sign and indication that that child was and is God himself, if you believe that he was wrapped in sacrifice to die on the cross for you, then you have a call to change. He's not wrapped in sacrifice so that we can just continue on. You and I are bought with a price, Paul says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, you're not your own. You are bought at a price. Honor God with your body, with your life. This baby was wrapped for sacrifice to pay for our sins that we might be changed, that we might live for him. There's so much more about this gift. I'd ask you to please stand and read responsively the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, where this gift is further revealed.
Jesus the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities.
All things have been created through him and for him.
He is before all things.
And in him all things hold together.
And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead.
In everything he might have the supremacy.
For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Please be seated.
You know, I mentioned that I would just love to be able to give every one of you a gold box that you could walk out of here with, but that would be really cluttered. But there is something that I can give you. I want to give every one of you a candy cane. Now, over on the outsides of the church, there are buckets with candy canes, and I would ask you to please, you know, pass the candy canes, you know, take one, and pass them to the center, okay? So those of you on this side, take a candy cane and pass it down. And on this side, take a candy cane and pass it down. And I've got some really good news for you. If you are a mom or a dad who has been wrestling with a six-month-old, you can take a candy cane for that six-month-old. The six-month-old can't eat it, but you can. Enjoy. All right. So, the reason why, excuse me, the reason why I wanted to give you a candy cane is a candy cane is just a great reminder that there is so much, even in very simple gifts. A candy cane, well, the shape of the candy cane is a J, reminding us that Jesus is our Savior. J for Jesus. The white part of the candy cane, it's hard and pure white to remind us that Jesus is holy and he is God himself. The red stripes remind us that he is truly human. It's blood red. The three thin stripes are for the three nails, two in his hands and one through his feet. The large, thick stripe is to remind us of how that soldier pierced Jesus' side to make sure that he was truly dead, that the payment was finished for our sins and yours. And then, of course, you hold it like this and it looks like a shepherd's crook, not just the Bethlehem shepherd, but that Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. You see, there's a lot that we can learn just about little simple things like candy. There is so much more to learn about the gift that our God has given us tonight. The Apostle Paul knew that there were thieves. Thieves trying to rob this gift. You know, one of the things about these Amazon boxes is not just that they are presents, but they are also opportunities for thieves, right? Porch pirates, I think you'd call them. If you leave it sit out there long enough, somebody will know there's a treasure inside. God has given us a gift. But a thief was trying to steal it from the Colossian Christians. A thief was trying to convince the Colossian Christians that this gift wasn't enough, that you needed to do something more, that you had to change, you had to clean up your life before God could possibly love you, that you needed some kind of secret knowledge to be that top-level Christian. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in that lesson that we just read together, reminds us who Jesus is. There is just so much more to understand, to unwrap about this gift that God has given us. And that's why attached to the candy cane was an invitation. An invitation to come back. Because there is so much more for us to learn about this gift. Especially to learn and understand for ourselves who this gift is for, because Satan wants to steal this gift away from you. Satan wants you to think, you know, that gift is always there. It's on the doorstep. It's on the porch when I'm ready for it. But I got so much stuff to do. I really don't have time to take a look at that gift, to think about that gift right now. I'll do it later. And then when we need that gift the most, Satan will hide that gift from us and snatch it away so that we can't find it. That's why I invite you to come back. In the January series, let's just continue to unwrap this gift, to understand who this gift is for. Now, there's a song called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. It's by Casting Crowns. I love that song. And what amazed me as I listened to that song is that they must have been sitting in on our sermon preparation last summer, because they're singing about the same thing that our message series is going to be about in January. Then I realized, no, they probably read the same gospel as us. And in that song, we're reminded that Jesus is a friend of sinners. He's a friend for the lost cause. And I'm not pointing my finger at you. I need to remember that Jesus is a friend of the lost cause, because that's been me today. My guess, you felt that way many times too. He's a friend of the outcast, a friend of the leper, the untouchable, friend of the lame, that person who just feels like everybody else has got more than me and I just don't measure up. That's me. And I need to keep unwrapping this gift so that I can understand that this incredible gift, it really was meant for me, that this Jesus really wants to spend time with sinners like me. Now, on behalf of the staff here at St. Paul's, I just want to invite you to come on back. Let's keep on unwrapping this gift in the month of January. And then I'm looking forward to February, too, because in January, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus is the friend of sinners and the friend of me. And then in February, we're going to have to think it through. If Jesus is the friend of sinners, then what does that mean for me? Am I also called to be a friend of sinners? There'll be some challenges there. Because remember, Jesus wasn't sacrificed so that we could stay the same. He sacrificed himself. He bought us for himself so that we might be changed and serve him. Let's pray. Father, you can deliver on promises even when we fail you. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to that promise to Adam and Eve and all the way along. Lord Jesus, help us to see that you are also God, just like your Father, and that you are faithful to your promises too. And as we walk out of here, help us just to carry a golden box to remind us that we have this golden gift of God with us, that you're walking with us every step of the way. Holy Spirit, come. Come and help us to believe that Jesus really is a gift for lost causes. Come, Holy Spirit, and work a miracle in us, that we who have been bought by Christ might live for him. Amen. At this time, we'll worship our Savior through our offerings, and I would encourage you, if you haven't already filled out the connection card, please take a moment to fill out the connection card. This is an important important part of our ministry here at St. Paul's. We want to stay connected as a family of believers, and so we want to serve people the best the way that we can, and we found these connection cards really helpful. So let us know that you're here. Let us know how we can help you, and then just include that as part of your offering to the Lord.
Please stand for prayer. O gracious and almighty Father, we praise you that you kept your ancient promises by sending your everlasting Son in human flesh. You sent Jesus as a lowly child to demonstrate your concern for all, the weak and lonely, the troubled and frightened, the timid and helpless. No one is overlooked by your ever-seeking eyes. No one is excluded from your upholding arms. No one is denied the comfort and help of your outstretched hand. You sent Jesus as the light of the world to drive out all darkness that would rob us of the full life that you intend for us. May the joy that will be for all people be our joy. May the peace on earth to all on whom his favor rests be our peace. May the treasure that Mary pondered in her heart be our treasure. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Jesus is the Christmas lamb who lived and died for me. He came to earth a precious gift to set his people free. This lamb was taken to a cross and died on Calvary. He gave the final sacrifice and rose in victory. What better gift could I have found this joyous Christmas time? I'll shout it from the mountaintops, the Christmas lamb is mine!
God of love, Father of all, the darkness that covered the earth has given way to the bright dawn of your word made flesh.
Make us people of this.
Make us faithful to your word, that we may bring your life to the waiting world.
Grant us, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you so much for sharing some of your time on this Christmas Eve with us. It has been a privilege to join with you in worship, and we do invite you to come back and worship with us. Now, I want to make sure that everybody got a candy cane. If you didn't, we've got lots of them out there in the lobby, just ask. Because, you see these nice little candles? We need these back. So, get a candy cane and leave the candle. So I wish you, on behalf of my brothers and sisters on staff here at St. Paul's, I wish you all a blessed Christmas. Let Pastor Keel and I get down the aisle, and then I'd encourage you to get up, greet the people around you. Have a blessed Christmas.